apology from Mrs. Moss. She is sick. And also from Mr. Siboza, who is attending another portfolio committee meeting. Mr. Mohale, who is also attending to another portfolio committee meeting. And of course, the one of Mrs. Rajbali, who is off sick, and of the Mrs. Raya, who is attending to a party program. Those are the apologies must go there. And we really respect the senior citizens. Yeah, but without wasting any more time, you, Madam Kizer, you are welcome together with your team and from the department, Ubabu Mkhalipi, and the others. And again, can you just remind us, I do know the names, but I always want the members to be reminded about our team. Can I give over to you, Babu Mkhize, and after introducing your team, then go straight into the business of the day.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. May I take this opportunity, first of all, to apologize for the late circulation of the documentation. And we plead for leniency from the senior citizen. Let us leave for today. Give us a chance to talk to you. We accept the warning, as it were. Madam Chair, with me is the Department of Labor, represented by John Mushabelo and Temikos Mkhalipi. And on my right-hand side, not politically, is Umesh Dulas, who is the Chief Financial Officer in Nedland. May I also just table the apology from Business, Labor and Community, who couldn't make it for this session because of other commitments as well. But they've given us the mandate to represent their views, as it were.
And I must say, if we had a concern, that would be only a concern of their absence, because we are required to involve stakeholders. Now, NEDLAC is an important structure which includes some of these stakeholders. So it was really important for them to be here, so that when, even if we didn't involve other stakeholders, but for NEDLAC to be all of them to be present, that would assist really, because one of the stakeholders is trade unions. Now, within NEDLAC, trade unions are represented, so it was going to sort of make our life a bit easier. But anyway, since you are working as a team and getting a mandate from all your social partners, so you may continue.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. We will relay the message to the constituents. So without further ado, the program that we're going to be tabling takes into account a number of factors. Amongst them is the fact that this is the final year of this government before the general elections next year. As a consequence to that, it has a very short parliamentary legislative time frame for this period, which also gives rise to the need for us to speed up the NEDLAC processes if we are to be in line with the parliamentary program. It also takes into account the State of the Nation Address key priorities, which spells out clear time frames in terms of where we should be going. Also, some of the issues that emerge out of the budget speech, the issues relating to economic and social and development challenges facing the country, challenges in Africa and internationally, And also the whole effort of trying to deepen the culture of social dialogue as well. So it takes some of those things into account. So the presentation will be slightly different perhaps from the past presentations where we tended to look more long-termish. We're going to be focusing very much on the first, second, and the third term, at that quarter, as it were. So some of the timelines that we have set up for ourselves looks at those three quarters, because the fourth quarter would be quite difficult indeed if we were to look at it as a possible horizon for us. Quite often we are mistaken for organizations that have no relationship or resonance whatsoever with NEDLAC. So I thought it was important for us to just recap in terms of what NEDLAC is about. We are representative, we are council that's representative, and we seek to reach consensus on and reach agreements on issues. We negotiate and we operate on the basis of mandate. So everybody who sits in the council has to carry a mandate. Our attempt is to try and translate or give effect to the aspiration of the people shall govern into practice. What we are not is we are not ultimate lawmakers. I think it is this house and the honorable members sitting around the table who take ultimate responsibility for making laws in this country. But our role is that of influencing and shaping the law. We are not law and policy enforcement agency, but delegate that function to appropriate agencies or set up new ones if need be. I think the Department of Labor is but one of the departments that takes up a lot of the responsibility for enforcement of the policies and laws that we touch and all the ones that we negotiate. We are also not a collective bargaining agency, but we only provide the legal framework for collective bargaining to obtain. We are also not a workplace dispute resolution agency, but we provide the legal framework, and indeed CCMA is one of the offspring of NEDLAC. We are also not an implementing agency, but provide the legislative and strategy framework for that. So we sit very much at the policy level, at policy formulation level, very much at the level of developing a framework for various policy imperatives in the country. When it comes to implementation, that's an area where we are not hands-on, and it has never been our brief as NEDLAC to implement. I think this is important because in some instances people will come back and ask us as to why our workers are being retrenched. What are we doing about it? And that is not in our purview as the council. It's a purview of other agencies or institutions that we have set up through various mechanisms and pieces of legislation. This presentation is going to be divided into four sections. And it's often argued as to what is NEDLAC. And what I'm going through now is just the face of NEDLAC, the leaders of the four constituencies in NEDLAC. For government, the four ministers, the Minister of Public Works, the Minister of Finance, the Minister of Labour, who is also the chief coordinator of government in NEDLAC, and we have the Minister of Trade and Industry. For Labour, we have the three general secretaries of the three federations in the country, Dennis George, Frederick Duster. Makamula Kusane has since joined the department. In his place, we have Manene Samela, but his picture is still there, and Zwelinzima Mavazi, who's the general secretary of COSATU. For business and community constituencies, we have Mr. Patrick Masipa, who's the president of PUSA, and Mr. Bobby Gosso, who's the chairperson of PUSA. For the community constituency, we have Blake Zimande, who is the chair of the Financial Sector Campaigns Coalition, and we have Mike Katoni, who is the general secretary of the Disabled People of South Africa, Laura Hanyaho, who is the Secretary General of the Women National Coalition, and Ruth Bengu, who, perhaps I should not say whose position she holds, but she represents a community constituency from Sanko. And then in terms of coordination of these constituencies, we have the four overall conveners. Ben Kusana is the immediate past Director General of the Department of Labor. He's since been replaced by Les Kelda, so we will be changing his photograph quite soon. Then we have Ibrahim Patel, who is the overall convener of the Labor constituency. Professor Raymond Parsons, he's the overall convener of the business constituency. And Sizwe Shesi, who's the president of the South African Youth Council, who is the overall convener of the community constituency. Our vision summed up is that the constituencies of NATLEG, government, business, labor, and community, reaffirm their commitment to social dialogue and working together to address the economic and development challenges our country faces. The constituencies also commit themselves to a common vision for promoting rising levels of growth, investment, job creation, and people-centered development. Our mission is to build an enduring partnership, is to address agents' challenges and lending a hand. So we're all about partnerships and about identifying key interventions that promise greater impact in the shortest possible time. So we cherry pick in terms of what are those key strategic areas where we, if we intervene correctly, we could begin to deal with some of the socio-economic challenges facing the country. Our modus operandi, the tools we use basically, is that we negotiate. So we are a negotiating forum. We consult on some issues, but the interesting observation is that in instances where issues are tabled in NATLEG for pure consultation, at times end up getting into a full negotiating mode. We share information. We also conduct research. And the last thing we do is that we deal with socio-economic disputes in terms of Section 77 of the Labor Relations Act. In terms of growth, I think that graph tells the story in terms of our own contribution in making this economy what it is today. A lot of us were surprised when the third quarter numbers on the GDP came out. And we really said, look, I mean, against all the gloom and doom, this economy is doing exceptionally well. But of course, that does not take, you know, neglect the fact that while it is growing, we're still battling to find or to make a visible dent on unemployment. And also we find it so difficult to deal with the issues relating to poverty. But in the main, we would want as NATLEG constituencies to claim that as NATLEG, we've also directly or indirectly made a contribution towards this picture that we see in terms of the economy. And also, we do influence how ultimately government spending on the budget is dished out. And I think the picture that one sees is quite a pleasing one in that it begins to deal with some of the stubborn problems facing this society. Now, getting into the work program, our first work stream is the annual summit. The annual summit is made up of no more than 300 delegates, often drawn from people who are not necessarily NATLEG regulars, but people who are outside of the NATLEG processes, and we use this platform to bring them into the loop in terms of what is it that we're doing and what are the key challenges going forward. It's chaired by the presidency. Now, since the NATLEG inception, there's only one NATLEG summit that was chaired by the president of the republic. All the other annual summits are chaired by the deputy president of the republic. So we also, for this year, are going to be holding our annual summit in September this year. A slight departure from the past is that this one, instead of it being a half a day, we are going to try and we're holding the summit over a day and a half. So it's going to be a Friday and a Saturday morning. We're still working out the logistics of how it's going to pan out. So that's the first activity for us for the year. Our next activity is the Executive Council. We are planning to hold 4 meetings this year, in this financial year. The Council is going to be considering and developing overall strategies to address social and economic policy challenges facing the country. This is a structure in NEDLAC that will go into the State of the Nation address. It will also go into the budget speech. It will even go to an extent of looking at the January 8th statement and the government program for the year. And it will cherry pick the kinds of issues that it considers to be key priorities for the Council and give them special attention, as it were, and find a way of how we weave some of those issues into the agenda. I think particularly the State of the Nation Address raised a number of basic projects for government, and NEDLAC is going to be going into those projects with a view of ensuring that the NEDLAC work program resonates with some of the key priorities as pronounced by the President. Some of the issues we'll be dealing with in the Executive Council include, but not limited to, the question of fiscal and monetary policy. We've already had an engagement with the Minister of Finance, which took place on the 22nd of February 2008, to engage on some of these issues. On the 23rd of May, we'll be dealing with electricity energy challenges in South Africa, finding a way of how we take into account some of the issues that were raised at the recent special presidential joint working group. We're also going to be dealing with an issue of what is it that we need to be doing in the area of employment creation and poverty alleviation eradication, particularly looking into account some of the targets that the country has set itself. We're also going to be looking at the FIFA event in 2010. At NEDLAC, we've developed a framework on how the FIFA event in 2010 could maximize the benefits for South Africans, and also how we could use the 2010 FIFA event to address some of the social and economic challenges in the country. The fourth issue we're going to be looking at is the challenge of food prices. We've been warned that the Congress of South African Trade Unions is going to be filing a Section 77 notice with NEDLAC shortly, and the issue there is food prices. The overnight labor is concerned about food prices in South Africa. We're going to find a way of how we deal with this, as it were, as and when it arrives, but we've been warned that it is on its way to NEDLAC. The Executive Council of the 28th of August will be dealing with social security and retirement funds reform. Now, there are two legs to this debate. The first debate is about retirement fund reform to amend the, I think it's the 1955 Pensions Act, so that it's holistically, as opposed to what has been happening over the years, just been amending certain areas, tinkering with the Act. And the Minister of Finance has given us notice that he is intending to overhaul the pensions or the retirement fund legislative framework. So we've already had some discussions with National Treasury and government on some of the key elements that will form part of the policy direction and later possible legislation or bill in this regard. That's the first leg. The second leg is social security and retirement reform without funds. And that's very much the draft policy discussion paper that was tabled again by the Minister of Finance in February last year, that seeks to look at the role of government in terms of providing retirement benefits. And it dovetails with some of the discussions that are happening in the Department of Labor with respect to various issues, including the UIF. How could we use the UIF in a broader scheme of things as part of a comprehensive social security system in the country, also of looking at some of the issues that are being developed in the Department of Social Development, as it were. So the discussion paper from National Treasury, the discussion paper into the study in the Department of Labor, and some of the proposals that are emerging out of the processes in the Department of Social Development have all been now consolidated, and the view is that at NEFLEC we need to use those documents with the view of coming up with one interface on how to deal with comprehensive social security system in the country. So that Executive Council will be seized with dealing with those issues. And the third thing that the Council will be dealing with in August is trade industrial development policy and strategy and rural development. And this is one element that is going to feature quite prominently. The question, what is it that we do in order to ensure that the rural society the rural component of our society also begins to be brought into the mainstream and begin to deal with some of the unique challenges facing our rural communities. I think for South Africa, this is particularly important in the sense that the vast majority of our population still very much resides in the rural, in our rural, as it were. And then the last one in December will be to look at the monetary policy. And here we'll be inviting the governor of the central bank to come and engage with the social partners on the direction that the bank is taking, and also regarding the exchange rate, the way it's behaving. In the past we were smacked with a Section 77 by the Chamber of Mines and the National Union of Mine Workers, because the issue was that the rand was too strong. It's interesting now, the rand that is becoming weaker and weaker, how all of a sudden the industry has kept quiet. And the commodity prices are doing exceptionally well. Perhaps that could explain why all of a sudden the noise has disappeared. Then we have the management committee, and the management committee will be seized in this year with at the very least, a number of issues that have emerged, and I'm going to touch on those issues, but we're planning to hold 7 meetings this year. So I'm going to start with the Labour Market Chamber. I think a chamber that deals mainly with the policy issues that are of direct interest to this House or this committee. The first issue that the chamber will be dealing with is demarcations. And now these are issues relating to disputes. Bargaining council disputes, bargaining council scopes, as it were. And it's driven by many issues. So in terms of the Act, NEFLEC is required to consider some of these applications or these disputes, as it were. So it's issue driven. There are no time frames. We deal with it as it arrives on the NEFLEC desk. The second issue we're going to be dealing with is improving the relationship between the CMA and the Labour Court. And we're hoping that we will be able to come up with some guidelines by the end of the first quarter of this financial year. We should be able to come up with the guidelines in order to ensure that the institution begins to perform at its optimum. This is partly one of the issues that emanate from the Labour Market Policy Review, that the issue was not so much about the law, but the problem was more about the administration of the law, particularly in the area of the institutional framework that has been set up to give effect to some of the issues in the law. So dealing with these guidelines will have a great deal in terms of dealing with some of these issues. The Chamber will also be dealing with the insolvency bill, and again here we are targeting by the end of the second quarter to finalize this process. The changing nature of work in South Africa, the atypical forms of employment, it's an issue that has been sitting on our agenda for quite a while. And we said, look, we need to kind of find some finality on this matter by the second quarter of this financial year. Why not the first quarter? Because it's an issue that has been on our agenda for such a long time. The advent of the Decent Work Country Program, Project for South Africa, has given rise to us to sit back and say, well, what are some of the key aspects of the issues that we're dealing with in the atypical forms of employment that could be catered for better in the Decent Work Country Program for South Africa? So we're trying to synchronize the two processes. The Digital Work Country Program project is coming in late, but we want to synchronize that with the discussions around the changing nature of work in South Africa. So that's for that reason that we've extended a bit in terms of the timeline to finalize this discussion. So we're looking at the second quarter of the financial year. Social plan review, again, we're looking at the second quarter of this current year to finalize that issue. The Superior Court Bill, we have made some progress here, honorable members. You will recall that we came in here a couple of times and we're worried that we were not getting much joy from the Portfolio Committee on Justice and Constitutional Development on these issues. We've since cracked that. We've had at least a meeting with the Minister of Justice, and she has given us a gap or a space to engage with her on some of the network concerns regarding the bill. We've also involved experts to try and help us to deal with issues that were seen as matters that were beginning to interfere with the Constitution, and come up with some limitations as to how we could deal with those issues without necessarily having to tinker with the Constitution. Mm-hmm. Now, we're hoping to finalize that quite soon. We do have dates already to meet with the Director General to tease some of the recommendations from our legal experts, and then thereafter have a meeting with the Minister. So we're looking at the first quarter ready to button down that issue. The Medical Aid Bill is an issue that is sitting on the Labour Market Policy Chamber, and we're looking there at either the first and the second quarter of this financial year to finalise the engagement on that issue. The Single Public Service Bill is currently in that length. We've had two engagements to date, and we've agreed that once the bill has been published, we will then go full scale into negotiations at NEDLAC, and we anticipate that we should be done in that process by the second quarter of this year. Of course, that takes it further than what the time frame that are prescribed in the Gazette. We're supposed to finalize that issue by the end of March, but it's taken some kind of leeway there because of a commitment that we received from the department that they are not going to be fast-tracking the bill in the manner that undermines the network processes, and we are going to hold them to that undertaking, as it were, which is also quite pleasing news for us in that there are now more and more departments that are coming to the party in network. Unlike earlier on, we were complaining that some government departments would look at every trick in the book to sidestep the network processes. But what we're seeing lately in the last 12 months is that more and more government departments are coming to the party. And I think the Department of Labor is helping us a great deal in terms of reining in some of the departments into NEDLAC. On the Labor Market Policy Review, we've had three meetings to date. The first two meetings were the ministerial roundtable discussions, where constituents were able to identify the kinds of issues that they would like to see as part of the agenda in NEDLAC for discussions. But things have moved on. The overall conveners at their last meeting 2 weeks ago are going to be recommending to the management committee that instead of dealing with the labor market policy review in isolation to the decent work country program, the atypical forms of employment, and all these other projects, we should perhaps begin to look at synchronizing those issues into one agenda instead of dealing with the labor market policy review in isolation. The overall conveners, however, will still have to sell this to the management committee, that we don't necessarily single out the labor market policy review for discussion, but we deal with it in a holistic manner, looking at the entire labor market, looking at the various issues in terms of strengthening the institutions that are set up through the labor legislative framework, including the processes that I spoke about earlier on of building this relationship between the CCMA and the labor court. So the jury is still up there in terms of how exactly I was going to proceed with this. We've also said we must get the view of the minister on how we seize that process, because as it were, the minister was implementing a decision of cabinet to review the labour market. So we have actually conveyed the position that we're taking as NASDAQ on labour market policy review, and we also are waiting to take on the matter. On the employment equity, we've taken a view that a number of the challenges in terms of the implementation of employment equity, in most cases, have got nothing to do with the policy or the acceptance of the policy. So the problems in compliance, by and large, are a function of people not understanding what employment equity is about. I mean, we hear every day people who are actually catered for in the Employment Equity Act being the ones who shout the loudest. And then when you explain to them that in effect you are one of the designated employees in terms of the employment equity, then people back off. So the Chamber is taking a decision to go on a roadshow, a couple of roadshows, just to educate people, raise awareness of why employment equity, why it is important, that the policy, that the compliance is important with respect to these issues. So we're hoping that in this financial year, we'll be able to make some serious or significant impact in terms of compliance further down the road, as it were. Skills Development Amendment Bill, NDPF Bill and Regulations. The Department of Labor has tabled in that blank Skills Development Amendment Bill. We have until June to finalize the process in NEDLAC, so we think that will be done by the end of the second quarter. And the bill also dovetails to some of the bills, at least three bills that have been tabled by the Department of Education. So there is overlap in terms of the two bills. And the Department of Labor is working with the Department of Education in order to ensure that we don't duplicate the processes. So there is a proposal from government, from the Department of Labor in particular, that in dealing with the bills from the Department of Education and the bills from the Department of Labor, we should find a way of how we integrate the processes in that link. So we are seized with this issue right now, and we try and explain what is it that the bills are attempting to do. National Key Points and Strategic Installations Bill, submitted in NEDLAC, and we hope to finalize discussions on this matter by the second quarter of this financial year. CETA review, we've completed the CETA review. Now we're dealing with the recommendations that are in that review report. And of course, we're going to take some of the issues that are emanating from the CETA review into the discussion on the broader skills development and also in the broader industrial policy framework and the ICAP as it were. And we're looking at the first quarter of this year to finalize that process. The Decent Work Country program has kicked in for South Africa. It's an ILO-driven project, but it's located very firmly in NEDLAC, so the NEDLAC social partners are driving this process of developing a decent work country program for South Africa. Our first workshop is scheduled for the 11th and the 12th of April 2008, and we hope to finalize at least the first draft framework of what should make up or what should the key pillars be of the decent work country program for South Africa. So first quarter of this financial year. Social security. On this issue, we're basically targeting the second quarter of this financial year to finalize the engagements in NEDLAC. That's the labor market policy. That's the labor market chamber or the labor market policy workstream in NEDLAC. Now moving on to trade and industry. The first issue we're going to be dealing with in the trading industry is the labor-intensive sector, that we're going to be paying special attention to labor-intensive sectors in our economy, and we have commissioned research to start lifting some of the things that we should be doing in order to unleash the potential of these sectors to help us in job creation. And we anticipate that we should be done in that process by the end of the second quarter of this financial year. Sector strategies and summits, this is basically the project where we pick a particular sector that promises to help us with employment creation, that also promises to help us with growing this economy, and we do an in-depth study to understand what the binding constraints are for that specific sector. And then we pull the social partners and we say, okay, let's agree in terms of... So it's a social accord within a sector, in a limited kind of fashion. We have finalized the strategy or the accord in the chemical sector, right? Already in place. We're going to be launching it publicly in April, next month. We've also finalized the sector accord for the metals and engineering sector, and it's also going to be launched publicly in April. We finalized the study, the in-depth study into fisheries, looking at the fisheries policy, looking at communities that survive purely on the basis of fishing and so on. And we're looking at coming up with an industry-wide accord on how we deal with fisheries. Pharmaceuticals, we've also finalized an in-depth study, and now the issue is to engage with some of the issues that I mentioned from the study. The construction, the study has already been finalized, and we're very much far down the road in terms of finalizing a construction sector accord at NetLink. The retail sector has just landed at NetLink, and we've worked in terms of its transformation, in terms of the strategies that we need to be looking at there. And we have already begun to look at the terms of reference for the study to understand what's going on in the retail sector. The ICT sector is already done. We are now very much at the implementation mode in terms of how do we begin to implement some of the issues that came out of that accord. Industrial development financing, this is an area where we're looking at development finance institutions with a view of understanding exactly what their mandates are and whether or not their mandates are not out of sync with some of the key objectives that the country set itself, and also looking at some degree of resonance between the mandates of the DFI with the broader the industrial development strategy. So yeah, we're talking about institutions like the Industrial Development Corporation, Development Bank of Southern Africa, and many, many others that reside in various provinces. So we're looking at finding a way of nuancing their mandates in a manner that is complementing rather than in some instances where sometimes there's divergence. So we're looking at finalizing this process in NetLink by the end of the third quarter. Cooperative strategy. Now, there are a couple of things that have happened here. We've got the legislative framework, we've got the Act now. The Act is in place. What is not in place is a strategy that is going to help promote cooperatives. And what is also still outstanding is the Cooperative Bank Bill. I think it's currently in the House, somewhere in this House, maybe in the National, in the Finance Portfolio Committee. Already here, and we're looking at that. So those are basically the two issues that are still outstanding before we complete the exercise of creating an environment for cooperatives to prosper in South Africa. However, what has happened is that with all good intentions for the Cooperative Act, which we've since discovered that there are gaps in the Cooperative Act which seeks to undermine the Labour Relations Act and labor standards. There are cases where, because in the Cooperative Act, cooperative workers are not necessarily defined or recognized as workers for purposes of the Labor Relations Act. So what has happened is that some clever companies have converted some of their businesses from a normal business into a cooperative in order to sidestep compliance with Labor Relations Act. Now we've commissioned a study in NetLink to identify the gaps Now, the study has been finalized, but we know where the gaps are. Recommendations have also been endorsed in the NEDLAC. But that has given rise to another study, which we've just commissioned to review the cooperative law. Because in terms of the legal advice we received, it was that it was unconstitutional for a cooperative act not to define cooperatives workers as workers in terms of the Labour Relations Act. So it's a very tricky exercise of, on the one hand, ensuring that cooperative members or cooperative workers are workers, unlike the current dispensation where cooperative workers are not necessarily workers and therefore not covered by the labor legislative framework in South Africa. So we're dealing with that, and we hope to finalize that process by the second quarter of this year. The triple BEE, where basically what we did here was to look at the BEE and the scorecards and look at them in terms of ascertaining whether or not there is alignment. And we also brought into the loop the various charters, the mining charter, the finance charter, and we looked at the targets or the scorecards that are found in those charters, private charters, against the DTI's BEE codes. And already there are problems because there is no resonance. They are not aligned. In some instances, the sector charters are by far better than the DTI codes. In other cases, the DTI codes scorecards are much better than the charter codes. Now, it's hard it's hard therefore to move the sector charter codes to be in line with the DTI codes if the DTI codes are the more advanced than the charter code, given the number, and based on the number of reasons. It's one of the reasons that has given, that created a stalemate in the Financial Sector Charter Council to finalize the code, because some constituencies within the Charter Council are arguing that the DTI codes are better than the sector charter code. And the private sector is arguing that, look, the charter codes were subjected to vigorous discussions and negotiations during the charter processes, and therefore they can't see that alignment as it were. So that has given rise to some degree of stalemate. And we hope to finalize the discussions on these issues by the end of the second quarter. I think the last point on that table looks at the role of South Africa in integration of African trade and industry. It is an issue that has been tabled, and already one begins to see some of the difficulties, particularly with the economic partnership agreements that are currently taking a strain. I think South Africa, Namibia, and now Angola have indicated that they are not going to sign the revised effort with the EU, and it's creating a lot of problems because South Africa does not articulate one voice when it comes to these issues, which then give rise to other economies, particularly the EU, coming in and exploiting the fact that Africa is not talking with one voice as it were. So at NEDLAC we're looking at taking up these discussions, and we're hoping that by the end of the second quarter we'll then finalize this issue. Of course, the issue here is that nothing stands here, everything keeps moving. So we'll keep tracking parallel to the other political processes that are happening on this show. Regulatory impact assessment. See here what we're trying to do is to look at all the policies in the trade, investment, and industrial policy or industrial development space. To look at all those policies and try and understand their impact on the economy, or their impact on various other things. What is their impact on employment creation? What is their impact in terms of our efforts to try and deal with poverty? Targeted procurement for small enterprises. It's an area we're dealing with, and Cabinet has just finalized the list of 10 products that will be ring-fenced for SME procurement. Now, there are some issues with respect to those issues, and we are setting up processes at a very senior level within government, and in fact we want to engage with the ministers on this issue with a view of dealing with unintended consequences that may arise as a result of a good intention to ring-fence certain products for SMEs. I mean, one of them would be, if currently one of those products are supplied by a big enterprise, what happens to the workers in that big enterprise when they lose that contract in order to benefit SMEs? So we're going to be looking at those unintended consequences, as it were. One of the things that has been identified as one of the problems with the influx of illegal imports in South Africa is our custom legislation. So it's up for review, and we're looking at various ways of how we could tighten that in order to deal with illegal imports that end up in our shores. And with that, we're looking at the end of the second quarter of this year. Trade negotiations. There are quite a number of trade negotiations that are currently taking place, and I think the longest one is the Doha round. Some people remark that we've moved from the Washington consensus to a Geneva consensus, because that's where the Doha round is basically being dealt with currently. We had a visit from the Director General of the World Trade Organization last week, and to engage on some of these issues. The DG of the WTO gave us an impression that the WTO was on the verge of cracking a deal around Doha. But that's not the view that is shared by government, our government. That's not the view that is shared by organized labor in that land. That is also not the view that is shared by business and community constituencies in that land. So the terms on which the Doha round could be cracked actually would compromise our war cry in Doha or in WTO of reclaiming the developmental agenda. So under the current terms on which the DG thinks a possible solution resides, it's not where South Africa thinks the solution to these issues are. So we engage with those issues. I think in terms of SACU and SADC, the bigger problem with respect to the customs union is the current economic partnership agreement review. Big problem. We've seen recently the visit to the country of a number of EU top dogs. Peter Mandelson was here, the DG of the WTO was here, the EU Commission people sitting in the Trade Department were here, and they all lobbied South Africa. And they also come to NetLink because they believe NetLink could help in terms of dealing with some of the same rights. So the jury is out there, and at the political level, the Minister of Trade and Industry and government are dealing with some of the issues here. I think export strategies are very straightforward, but the issue here is that our current account deficit has reached serious proportions, to put it mildly. And then one of the issues is that our imports have far outstripped our exports. It's a big issue. And in fact, people argue today that the reason why we are not seeing even bigger current account deficit is because of the inflows. Foreign investment inflows into South Africa. The recent deal between Standard Bank or Stanley Bank, Standard Bank and the Chinese Bank, and also they talk about the one which is now owned, the Absa Barclays Bank deal. That we may be surviving on the basis of these kinds of investments. If it wasn't for those investments, we would be in trouble. Now, to what extent are some of the issues we're dealing with currently, vis-a-vis the energy crisis, are investments still going to have the level of appetite to invest in this economy, as has been the case in the past? So the jury is out, as it were. And it's one of the reasons that it's raised as a problem for for our exchange rate, that the energy crisis, you may try and downplay it, but it could have a very direct role in terms of why is the rand behaving the way it is at the moment. I think recently even the commodity prices have started showing something very funny. Commodity prices were doing so well. And in fact, when we had the energy crisis, platinum prices were shooting up. Commodity prices were shooting up, as it were. So it was creating the more favorable conditions for commodity prices, the energy crisis. But what we've seen quite in the last couple of days is that commodity prices are also showing some kind of strength. And some commentators are pointing to a number of things which could be the reason why commodity prices are showing the stuff that they're showing now. So the export strategy is absolutely critical for us, because it's an issue that could help us to deal with the current account deficit. And then the growth of the MOUs. This is particularly a problem in the sense that the way we understand the process currently is that the presidency will be the first point of call in foreign affairs, in foreign relations, in our foreign policy. So our president will visit a president in Ghana. They will have a chat and they will agree that we need to call some relations. And often in that delegation there will also be a minister of foreign affairs, there will also be the minister of trade and industry. But it's the presidency that will take a lead. Then foreign affairs will kick in. Often what will happen when foreign affairs kicks in is that MOUs will emerge out of that. And then out of the MOUs, you will see some concrete steps coming in the form of trade and industry, buttoning down some arrangements on trade. And China was a case in point here. That the president moved in, better relations, foreign affairs moved in, MOU came about, and trade and industry was pulled in very late in the process. Now the difficulty in the MOU with foreign affairs was that, look, South Africa said, look, South Africa is ready to trade with China. Now when the Minister of Trade and Industry came in and said, look, you can't change that commitment that we are ready to trade with China. All you need to do is to deal with the modalities of that relationship. Now this has come to NetLink, and NetLink is saying perhaps there should be some kind of role for NetLink in how these MOUs are concluded, because they do become a challenge further down the road, as it were. So that's what this issue is about. IPA, I think I've spoken about the IPA. Companies Bill, we finalized the Companies Bill. Companies Bill is basically the big bible on how business operates or should operate in South Africa. We finalized that. Customs Act, we've also finalized that. Small scale and subsistence fisheries is an issue that is very much linked to the sector strategy that I spoke about earlier on. And in all of these areas, we're looking at the first quarter, first, second, and third quarter. But first quarter, we're not mentioning the fourth quarter at all. It's not that we'll be doing nothing in the first quarter. But given some of the factors that I spoke about earlier on, we think that perhaps we should look at the third quarter much, much later in the process. Now, if I may, Chair, take you to trade, which is slide number. The numbers this thing. They're not numbers. Under trade and industry, but this one deals specifically with trade. This is some of the information that helps amplify some of the things we're going to be dealing with today. I mean, at the top there, it's services. The WTO NAMA, I've already spoken about that. The SACU negotiations with EFTA. The what? ITEC. Okay. The ITEC is the International Trade Administration Commission. That's an institution that would, for an example, if a company complains of dumping
it will go to that commission to report the case that China is dumping cheap t-shirts in the South African economy or in the South African market. And that's the commission that will take the matter up and make a ruling. You will recall, honorable members, that we currently have the Chinese quota. That decision was very much taken by that commission. But this is for information, Madam Chair, of some of the things we involved in, unless there are questions. The last column where that talks of the SAEU TDCA review, it's also a process that is currently taking place. But the conclusion, I must say to members at the moment, is that in this protocol, the research has found that South Africa has not really benefited much from its trade agreement with the EU. Now, don't ask me who forces it, because the EU said, look, it's South Africa. We gave you an opportunity. You did not mind the opportunity to its optimum. So EU should not be blamed. But South Africa, on the other hand, is saying, well, look, in as much as you gave us the opportunity, there were still technical issues that were there for us. I mean, among others, the question of agriculture, the agricultural subsidies and so on. Said, well, you can't simply say South Africa was given an opportunity, don't mind the opportunity. And also the other thing was that South Africa, in these things, does carry the customs union with it. So Namibia, Lesotho, Botswana, Swaziland are very much part of what South Africa would articulate. And whatever the benefits coming out of the South Africa EU trade arrangement also accrue to the members of SACO. So then it's a question of whether or not the other members of SACO did not benefit as it were. So we're dealing with this issue, and we're thinking that perhaps we might have finalized, will be finalizing the position by the first and second quarter of this financial year in the Standing Committee in NEDLAC. SACO India, we're involved very much in the first and second quarter. We could begin to see something that has a semblance of what the country position is going to be in those negotiations. There is the India-Africa Trade Conference coming up, I think, in April. And we are also targeting that conference, that at least by that conference, South Africa should begin to articulate a position, as it were. SACO China, first and second quarter, as it were. I mean, you can see we no longer talk South Africa China, we talk customs union, because that's the harsh reality, as it were. I've already spoken about the chemical sector summit that has been finalized. We're now looking at the first quarter in terms of doing a public announcement on the chemical sector accord. The IT sector accord implementation mode, and again there we're looking at finalizing the program by the end of the first quarter. The development chamber of NEDLAC, which is the most powerful chamber in NEDLAC, but which is also the weakest chamber in NEDLAC, in reality. Powerful in the sense that it is positioned very strategically within NEDLAC, in that it's more like the old minister without portfolio in government, the minister of the RDP, whose job was mainly to look at the government programs to ensure that they are not out of sync with some of the key objectives in the RDP. This is what the development chamber is about in NEDLAC. It does not community constituency, for an example, does not serve in public finance, in labor market policy, and trade and industry. It only serves in the development chamber. But the role that the development chamber, as it was conceptualized at the inception of NEDLAC, was that it will have to make sure that the policies coming out of the labor market chamber do not undermine the issues, the developmental issues, that the policies coming out of trade and industry chamber resonate with some of the developmental imperatives in the country. And the issues coming out of fiscal and monetary policies are issues that help promote the developmental agenda in South Africa. So that's what they should be doing. So they are a policing department, if you like, a policing chamber of NEDLAC that should make sure that the policies that are coming out do not undermine development. Now they do this in the executive council, because in the executive council, the community constituency has the same number of seats with other constituencies. They have 18 seats in the council, like all other constituencies. They also can do this in the management committee, where they have the same number of seats in the management committee. And that's where the policies that are developed in the Netherlands Chamber are ratified. They are signed off and or ratified in management committee and the executive council. And we take decisions by consensus. So it will simply just take one community constituency to raise a hand that we don't like the Labour Relations Act. And it might be difficult, for the council to pass that decision, as it were. So it's powerful in that sense. Weak in the sense that I think given the complexities in that chamber, it never got in around to performing that function, that responsibility. As a result, it discovered very late, when the policy has already been endorsed, that it did not sufficiently take into account some of the developmental imperatives, much, much later in the process. So it's an issue we've identified, an issue we need to deal with, and we must deal with it. The first issue is dealing with is the social security. And on the social security, we're dealing with two things. The first is the poverty line for South Africa. Now, we used to have this some years ago, but it disappeared. Now, the Minister of Finance says, to get working with SASSA, they will be announcing a poverty line for South Africa, a national poverty line for South Africa, shortly. If not, by the end of this month, it will be possibly in April. But of course, it still has to come to Parliament and those kinds of issues. So NEDEC is dealing with that issue, and we are hoping to finalize our discussions on the poverty line by the end of next week. Next week, we're having a special session to finalize these kinds of issues, so that by the time this issue gets tabled in Parliament, at least as NEDEC would have had a chance to grapple with it. So that's the first thing we're dealing with. Now, there are a lot of challenges in here. What is the poverty line? Is anybody earning less than 100 cents? Or is 100 cents the poverty line, or 200 cents the poverty line in South Africa? So anybody below that will be considered to be below the poverty line. I think the international one is $1 a day, or two. Some they use $2 a day. But I think the UN one is $1 a day. So that's the international poverty line. So what's the South African poverty line? So that is going to be coming out within the next 6 weeks. We will soon know what is proposed to be a poverty line for South Africa. The second issue we're dealing with in the chamber is the retirement fund coefficient. Very much the government subsidized or government partly subsidized retirement provision for working people who earn too little to afford contributing towards a retirement fund. It's an issue we're looking at also. So we're looking at the end of the first quarter, particularly on the first issue of the poverty line. And I think the retirement fund provision, that one is going to take much longer. And in terms of government, the implementation horizon is more, it's like 2010. So we're looking at 2010 to see a retirement fund reformed arrangement kicking in. But on the poverty line, it's something that is coming up quite quickly. On the local government, the chamber is looking at building some synergy between what we're doing at the national level of social dialogue with local government. One of the things that has been identified as the key problem why the IDPs have not worked is because the participation of the key stakeholders in unpacking the IDPs leaves much to be desired. I mean, in some instances, it leaves out the key people that will make IDPs work. So the view in the chamber is that we should perhaps begin to help create the social dialogue at a local level. But the management committee of NEDEC is very cautious about that move, the move of us actually extending our presence to local government, but to look at perhaps developing some guidelines to help local government deal with the issue of social dialogue at that level, as opposed to hands-on. it's an issue also that is raised in the network review, the independent network review, that network should begin to play a much greater role in developing social dialogue at local level. And it's something that is going to require resources to do, and so on. So we're looking at coming up with the guidelines by the end of the first quarter. Cooperative development strategy, I've already spoken about this, because it's an issue that overlaps between the development chamber and the trade and industry chamber, that we need to finalize the strategy. And the DGI, in the first draft of the strategy, the DGI spotted a number of weaknesses, and they pulled it back. So the DGI is revisiting the cooperative strategy before it could again table it in NetLeg for finalization. So the timelines there are the same as in the Trade and Industry Chamber. Expanded Public Works Program, there is an ongoing review of how the Public Works Program is panning out, working very closely with the Department of Public Works. On the land issue, a lot has happened recently. A number of pronouncements have been made in the recent past. And the Development Chamber of NetLeg is looking at this issue, and we intend completing a NetLeg agreement of policy and strategy, taking into account a number of processes, including the land summit and so on into account. And we're looking at the first and the second quarter of this financial year to finalize this matter. The youth policy, the youth commission tabled the youth policy in NetLeg. There were engagements on the policy, and we're hoping that we'll be finalizing the policy once approved by the minister. We've made our own inputs as NetLeg into the policy, and we're looking at the first quarter of the next financial year for this. Public transport is very much in NetLeg, but here we seek an engagement with the Minister of Transport and his team in order to deal with some critical issues that have been raised. And here we're looking at the end of the first quarter. The single public service, I've already spoken about this, is an issue that sits in the development chamber and also in the labor market chamber. Now, what is also very strange here is that in the discussions on this issue is that not everyone has a single view. Not all the constituencies have a single view of where we should be taking single public service. Everyone, including the labor constituency, they don't talk with one voice on the single public service bill. In fact, there are people in the labor movement who are saying we should not even consider this issue. The government must be told to abandon this project, as it were. So it's difficult, it's very complex in that sense. The Municipal Systems Act is also an issue that has been tabled in NetLeg, and as the development chamber is looking at the agenda, because it's one thing to just table that act is so thick, you can't just say we want to review the act. You've got to actually point out which areas and which sections of the act that will require a review. So the chamber is trying to develop that agenda, which will then form the basis for engagement in NetLeg. There we're looking at signing off on the agenda second quarter, and that's before we even start engaging on the issue. The National Qualifications Framework Bill, these are the three goals that come out of the Department of Education. Here we had until yesterday to finalize engagements on the bill, and the bill was published I think on the 19th of February this year. So we had less than a month to engage on this bill. So we haven't started engagement on the bill. The first meeting to engage on the bill is on the 13th of March, 3 days after the deadline. Now the reasons are very simply that there wasn't sufficient time allowed for the social partners to engage with the bill, and this is an issue that might be coming back to you later on should the Department of Education proceed and ignore or sidestep the NetLeg processes on this issue. The NetLeg constituencies have already signaled that if it goes to Parliament without completing the necessary processes, they will come and protest in the house. So we're engaging with the builder, and our view will be to request the Department of Education to give us sufficient time to engage with the builder and agree with them in terms of what will be reasonable time to deal with the issue. So the intention is not to jeopardize the plan of the Department of Education to table and finalize these bills, but at the same time, we don't want to compromise the NetLab process, the consultations and the engagements in NetLab. So this again goes back to the first question, that given the short time frames that have been allocated to legislative processes in Parliament, that has resulted into a number of government departments rushing a number of bills, even to a point of sidestepping important processes, as it were. But we're handling it now, we're not complaining yet. Depending on what happens at the meeting on Thursday, we may have to come back and complain if we are not getting an ear from the Department of Education. But these are important goals. These are not the kind of goals that just need to be rushed through. We need to give them thorough consideration. Public finance is mainly the chamber that deals with fiscal and monetary policy. The Minister of Finance is the key minister in the chamber, and the governor of the Reserve Bank is an ex officio member of the council. Again, the issue of the development finance institution comes up that we need to review. Basically, already National Treasury is reviewing the role of the DFIs and their mandate. And the issue that we deal with here is to ensure that NetLab becomes involved in the review. And we're looking at first and second quarter to finalize this process. The finance charter, I've already touched on this point in the trading industry chamber. National budget, we want to link into the government process of the budget process much earlier. So we want to link up with that process in all the first, second, third, and even the fourth quarter. We want to link up with government, National Treasury in particular, so that at least the budget that gets tabled in February is the budget that would have been influenced somehow by the engagement in that bank. It's one thing that we haven't been able to crack. We often come in at the very tail end of the processes, so we want to fix that this year. The three points that appear on the screen are points that emanate from the Growth and Development Summit Agreement. Now, the entire Growth and Development Summit Agreement is going through a review, because in June this year, that agreement would be 5 years. So we're doing a comprehensive review of the GDS, and we intend finalizing that by June this year, in time to table a report at the next presidential joint working group. So those issues, I'm not going to dwell much on them. Social security funds and reforms, because social security has tax implications, the funding implications, it is also sitting in the fiscal and monetary policy of NetLab, but the processes are very much integrated. The next section deals with Section 77. Now here, we still have Section 77 that were tabled in 2006. The Kusatu Western Cape tabled their Section 77 in July 2007. We're still grappling with that issue, the issues that they tabled, for a very simple reason. We've taken a view now as the Section 7 Standing Committee of using Section 77 to build a culture of social dialogue in provinces. So when a Section 77 comes from a province, we find a way of how to use that Section 77 as the platform to create the social dialogue culture. So that's what we're doing for the Western Cape. We're using all the Section 77 as a foot in the door of saying to the province, engage. Have your own social dialogue on some of the issues. Of course, the problem with it is that it's going to take much longer before we conclude consideration of the issue. But we believe it's well worth the time invested in those processes, because at the end of the process, we would have by default created a social dialogue forum in a particular province, in this case, Western Cape. We had one from Satau. Perhaps I should not bore you much about the others, except to say that that column in white, it's a section 77 notice from Kusasa, which is pending. So that at least you are also not caught by surprise that tomorrow you hear of the section 77. When NetLeg was here, we didn't talk about it. So we are giving you a heads up on it, that it is coming. There's a debate at the moment whether they should also include the question of electricity prices as part of this section 77. But we've been warned that it's on its way to NetLeg. And the one from the Kusasa Eastern Cape is about provision of health services and the provincial budget cut. We're still dealing with that issue. And also again there, we're trying to use that section 77 as a platform to create social dialogue in the Eastern Cape. And I think Mkhalisi is working, but they will have to get back and just watch whether the troops they are doing the draft. The issues that are not covered on the slides, but these are the issues that are covered in the narrative, is research. The position of a researcher in NetLeg has been vacant for quite a while. We advertised last weekend. The ads came out in the Mail and Guardian. We're looking for a researcher. All are invited to apply. And this is going to be much useful this year, because as we move along, we've realized that there are some of the issues which I'm going to talk to under the last slide. Communications, we've also just lost a communications officer. We've also advertised for the communications officer. It doesn't change the plan, so our strategy plan, communications plan is still in place. In HR, the biggest challenge for us in HR is our ability to attract skills into the institution and the ability to retain them. So we're still stuck in this revolving door syndrome where we get the skills in, but they're so quick to leave, and citing a number of reasons. I mean, in the exit interviews, they cite a number of reasons as to why they want to leave. But one of the reasons is that they get stolen by our own constituency. They come and take from us. We bring people in, constituencies, they come to meetings. We think they come to debate issues, but they come to look at who they can steal. So they steal from us. They steal their own silver from their own cupboards. Finance. The total grant that we're expecting this year from the Department of Labor is just shy of 14 million for the 2008-2009 financial year. Of course, we do have rental income. We have Saudi South African, who is a product of ourselves. It's our baby, and we accommodate them in NetLeg, and we charge them a fee for using the premises. So in total, we expect an income of 14.4 million for 2008-2009. Now, there's an issue that always comes up about NetLeg and its funding. In the review, in the NetLeg review conducted by Professor Eddie Webster, he did a comparison between what NetLeg gets and what other institutions or government institutions are getting. And he also looked at what those institutions do and what we do, and then came to a conclusion on whether or not we are deserving of more money or not. His conclusion was that we are deserving of more money. Now there's a process to do this, and the Department of Labor has indicated the willingness that we should use the process. And the process is that NEFLEC must then develop a proposal through its strategy plan on how much money we need. Now, that's a process that has not happened. That process has not happened, and it's a process that is going to kick in this year. So we will be working on that project this year of working out how much more money we need from the department, and we'll be submitting that in time in this year. Because it's an issue that requires a lot of other issues there to be taken into account. So it's not just the department does not want to give us more money. We haven't as NEFLEC given them a proposal that says we need more money and this is how much we need. But we are happy with the fact that this portfolio committee has supported the view that we are deserving of more money, as it were. And we're going to spend all this money this year. We were currently toying around with the issue of whether or not we should buy ourselves a generator. And it's costly. I mean, we've taken some quotations, and there's nothing less than 250,000 rand for the smallest. And if you want to go for the biggest, there's nothing less than 400,000 rand. Now, we haven't just yet taken a decision whether we need to do that. Because I think we are confident that we will be able to find solutions to some of the issues fairly quickly. But it's an issue that we're just raising, which also has some impact in terms of how we're going to be moving forward. The issue that must come before you towards in August, when we table the annual report for 2007-2008, is that you may see a deficit. Now, in terms of CFMA, we're not supposed to overspend. But this is what has happened, the background to it. In the years, we've allocated money to NEFLEC constituencies to build capacity. Now, not all constituencies have been you know, too enthusiastic about using up that money. So that money ended up in reserve. So every year, the monies that have not been used by the constituencies because it's been ring-fenced for them to build capacity, so all the monies that have not been used will go into our reserve. Now what's happened is that the pot of reserves has grown quite substantially because it's a recurrence. Every year, they don't use up all the capacity funds. So last year, MENCO took a decision that constituencies should make an extra effort to use the money to build capacity. Because it's one thing if capacity is there and people are not using the money. The challenge for capacity is still very much there, but yet they're not using the money that has been set aside for capacity. Now, in the process of encouraging the constituencies to use up their reserves, that is going to give rise to a deficit in our income statement, because we've got to show the income and expenditure for this current financial year. But when you look at the balance sheet would look healthy in that there is money there, there is fat for the constituencies to use. So come end of this financial year, when we annualize our statements and our finances, in the income statement you will see a possible deficit, but in the balance sheet, when everything else has been put together, the picture will be much healthier. So Chair, I'm wanting to raise this so that when it does come up, it's not going to be something that comes up at the time. We've also checked this with National Treasury as people policing PFMA, and they said no. I mean, there's nothing to watch about that scenario, but we provided that we apply for an approval that we should show a deficit in our income statement for this current year. We will talk to the number chair with your permission, perhaps in the question time. I just want to rush into the last bit of this. Key challenges for NEDLAC. I think the first challenge is the growing numbers of new entrants into the labour market. I think on the one hand we have an economy that is growing, but an economy that does not have the capacity to absorb the numbers, the kind of numbers of people that enter the labour market every year. I think it's a major challenge for all of us. And given our previous network of growing employment creation, it's an issue that has been flagged as a critical challenge for us. The second issue is related to mandates obtained from cabinet, that there are two sides of time to allow space for trade-offs in the network processes. Even the sequencing at times become a huge problem. I think the classical example was the list of products that are ring-fenced for SME procurement. Now that list has been to cabinet, and cabinet has approved that list. And it only comes to NEDLAC thereafter. Now what happens if the NEDLAC constituency raises a valid point about changing something in that list? The difficulty then, if that happens, is that the government department concerned will have to go back to cabinet to change the position. And a lot of government departments are very reluctant to do that. Once a position has been approved by cabinet, it's almost like cast in stone. There is not much room to maneuver. Of course, with exceptions. I mean, there are exceptions where a mandate is obtained from cabinet with the full understanding that the matter was still going to NEDLAC, and therefore cabinet must be ready if there are any changes that comes up as a result of the NEDLAC process. But those exceptions are few, very few. It's a huge challenge for us. And we can't request to be part of cabinet. Which is a problem. Tight time frames to finalize issues and little flexibility from government departments. I think the classical case will be the three bills that have been tabled from the Department of Education. The time frame today is the 10th of March, that by that time all the comments should have been made on the bill, and there was no provision initially that was made for the NEDLAC processes, until the Acting Director General of the Department of Labour intervened. And the meeting is only on Thursday to determine whether or not we are going to have a much broader window to engage with those issues. Sequencing of processes at times unwittingly undermines social dialogue. Now this is a double-edged sword in the sense that NEDLAC was never meant to put a stop on bilaterals between constituents. By all means, government is at liberty to have bilaterals with labour. Labour is by all means at liberty to engage in a bilateral with business, so is community. But the problem with it is that at times the outcome of the bilateral discussion, if it suits the parties involved, is fine. The issue must not therefore be tabled in NEDLAC. But if they hit a snare in the bilateral, all of a sudden they remember that there is NEDLAC. There are a couple of examples here. I mean, the first example is the health charter. The health charter was very much a process outside of NEDLAC, but in a sort of bilateral with Department of Health. But when some constituencies did not get their way through in those negotiations, then all of a sudden they told the minister to bring the issue to NEDLAC. And the minister rightfully said, look, why do you want me to bring the issue to NEDLAC? Because I'm dealing with the same people that I'll be dealing with in NEDLAC. What is it that will change? Is it the building? Because that's the only thing that will change, is that they'll be meeting in a different building, but it's the same people. So at times this becomes a problem. Perhaps the way to sequence this is that the issue should start at NEDLAC and then bilaterals later, with the proviso that the issue will always be brought back to NEDLAC. It's a huge challenge for us. It's going to be even worse now with the alliance seemingly getting itself together. It's going to be more difficult. More issues are going to be dealt with in the alliance. They're going to be dealt with in the alliance, and I'm not sure whether the guys will remember that they still met me. Policy coordination still poses a huge challenge for network processes. I mean, at first, the Minister of Finance tabled something that's of course social security and retirement reform. At the same time, there was something in the social development department, or the Department of Social Development, on the same topic. And also there were discussions in the Department of Labor looking at how the UIF could fit in within the bigger comprehensive social security. Now, these are the things that were coming in from different departments, and yet they were all from government. So this began to create a bit of problems for the network social partner. But we dealt with it. So I think the issue here is that dealing with it on an issue-by-issue basis at times does create problems for all of us. Dealing with the unintended consequences of certain policies, the Cooperative Act is a classical case where it's an excellent piece of legislation. But unless you test it against other pieces of legislation, you will not be able to pick up if there are any unintended consequences that may arise. We've learned quite recently that there were indeed unintended consequences in terms of labor standards and the Labor Relations Act, and we're dealing with them. Now, I've got no idea how many other policies out there that may have unintended consequences if you were to put them to the test in terms of the broader thrust of where the national agenda is going. Parallel processes attempt to fit the primary objectives, I've already touched on that, and enhancing the capacity of constituencies in the network processes. I mean, there are times when you would find the Mike Tyson and the four-year-old scenario when dealing with a particular issue. Now, this changes. I mean, there are times when business is on top of its game and all other constituencies look like four-year-olds. There are instances where labor is on top of its game and all other constituencies look like four-year-olds in the debate. So that does cause a problem, because the first thing you need to do is to bring everybody to the same level, the same page, before you could start engagement. And that tends to take time. And the Labour Market Chamber of NetLeg has actually perfected the art of dealing with this scenario. That once a government tables a proposal, the first thing that happens is that the department concerned comes to NetLeg to explain what is it that it has just tabled and why. And that helps in terms of bringing everybody up to speed or bringing everybody on par before you start engaging in the substantive negotiation. Staff retention and attracting high caliber of skills into the organization is a challenge for us, and I've raised that earlier on. Skills development is much more of a national challenge for all of us. And I think the last one is the implementation of the agreed network review recommendations. Now, we haven't finalized the agreements on some of the recommendations. And of course, there are new recommendations that network social partners have put on the table for discussions as part of the network review, as part of making network this world-class institution in terms of policy formulation. Chair, that's my case a bit longer in trying to mitigate the fact that you only got your documents this morning. But we're more than ready to take questions. Thank you very much, Jen.
Thank you very much. I think after that long presentation, long and informative presentation, we need a break. Just 5 minutes break to get fresh tea and fresh our legs, then we come back for questions and input.
Thank you.